Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker.
Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Welcome to One Bills Live. It's a gorgeous day out in Orchard Park. A little cloudier today, but man, the place looks great. It's warm. It's summertime. We're loving it. Coming in, starting at the noon hour. We'll be here till 3. Steve Tasker here, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, along with Chris Brown. Brownie's great to have you in. And you were busy yesterday. I was over here breaking rocks with a hammer by myself yesterday.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But yeah, I was running around. I even had to do an early segment with the morning show on GR.
Yeah.
I have so many loose ends to tie up on the home front before training camp starts. I cannot even describe.
Like, what's your list look like? Is it like around the house, outside the house, or is this like paper piles and mail you got to go through?
Mostly outside the house,
right?
Because I got to get it to a point where I can leave it for 2 weeks and be okay,
right?
Not to mention the fact that there's an additional week that I'm just flat out going to be in the Carolinas.
Oh yeah, we're gonzo.
With the joint practices.
Right, we'll all be down. I just had a conflict pop up because of that. That came down the thing, and now, like, what? I'm going to be in, where are we going? Starksville, Carolina? Where is this place?
Spartanburg.
We're going to Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Right, which is where Clemson and Wofford College are.
Clemson's at, it's
in Spartanburg.
Spartanburg?
Well, I think they have their own specific town, but it's near Spartanburg.
It's like sister cities.
Well, it's relatively close.
And we're going to be there. And because of that, we're going to be gone like 5 days, right? Big road trip for the boys.
Leave Monday.
Sounds fun.
Leave Monday, home right in the wee hours of the morning
right
on Friday.
Right. So it sounds like all fun and games. We're all going to down there. We work for 3 hours in the afternoon, yada, 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 and all that. Steve, dispel that rumor right now.
All I'm going to say is this. We are going to melt.
I know.
Because
it's like 6,000 degrees.
I just came from there last week because I visited family in Charleston.
Okay, which is a little south of that, right?
Yeah. And I'm just going to tell you.
It's brutal.
The heat and humidity is stupid. It's stupid.
Steve, there was a guy.
We're going to be out on the side. Steve, we're going to be on the sidelines in golf shirts like this, observing the action, not running around, just standing there. I'm telling you right now, Steve, I'm going to have to wear an undershirt to soak everything up. Otherwise, I'm going right through this thing.
Yeah.
Because I got to have a hat on because I've got no coverage up here.
You got to wear a hat anyway, man.
Well, yeah, because otherwise you're going to get sunstroke. You're going to get sunstroke. Forget about sunburn. All that sun.
Say what you want. It's dangerous hot.
You're
going to be going through. We'll be drinking, liters and liters.
That's why everybody down there does what we do up here in the winter. They're inside from 9 to 7.
Yeah. You can say what you want.
It's just,
I like it better here,
right?
Obviously.
And I had talked to Brandon Bean about this too, in terms of the planning for these joint practices, and he said, "Look, we kind of put all this together before our schedule even came out, and."
Right.
There was an element of we want to get our guys in the heat in case the schedule comes out and we're in Miami week 2, or maybe some other, maybe we're in Dallas in week 2. You know what I mean? And they don't maybe, they got that
Dallas
thing
is
open.
The same thing. Dallas is like dangerous hot too, although it's different than the old Texas Stadium. The old Texas Stadium was an oven.
Yeah.
It was basically a 300-yard oven.
But there was a measure of intent to get – the players in the heat at some point in training camp.
Right.
The event that they had to play in a southern city early in the season.
So, but all that aside, who cares, except you and me? We got to go down there and live in it. And now, because of the fact that we're going to be, pulling the ripcord and getting out of town for a
a week. We got all this stuff we got to do,
right?
Which is, right?
Cut, get the grass cut. You know what
you
I mean?
You got to time that up too, because you can't like
right.
where it needs it 5 days later.
Cut it Sunday.
Right. We're leaving.
Fly
Monday.
Out Monday.
Right.
But you know now you got to you got to watch the weather though, because what if it rains Sunday?
Yeah,
you know,
rain
that
Saturday,
kind of stuff.
Then you can't mow it Sunday. And it's the same thing too, because even Monday's a shot day, because we're in here in the morning. We get ready for the show for a couple hours. We do the show, and we're like that's it. It's a roadie. We jump in the truck and drive right to the airport, get the flight down there, because then we got to drive to Spartanburg.
So I believe we're flying into Charlotte.
Drive to Spartanburg,
which is just over the state line.
Yeah, but it's I heard it's like an hour and 30
on
minutes.
On a bus, it probably is. Yeah,
not with John Murphy driving the rental car.
That's another story entirely, but we don't need to get into that.
I'm John Murphy.
He loves to drive, though.
I know.
Like, he's a lot like...
That's fine.
He's a lot like Mr. Pegula. Mr. Pegula loves driving. If there's anything under 6 hours, he's driving.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, loves to drive. Would rather drive. And it makes sense when you think about
it.
Because, you know, if you're under 6 hours in the car, it's probably worth it to drive, because door-to-door in the airport between waiting and landing
and
baggage,
and
you're probably
at
the same amount anyway.
I get it. Yeah, I read an article just the other day about how that was the self-driving cars are going to wipe out a big segment of the
airline. Did you see the flying car thing? They've got like these drones now that can carry a human.
Right.
And fly you to work.
Yeah. How cheap is that, though?
Well, I just wonder how they're going to be marking the lanes in the air. That's what I'm...
Ain't no lanes in the air, baby. Let's go.
Well, yeah, but you get enough people flying around up there. I mean,
yeah, I know.
You know the number of idiots you got driving around on the ground. You're going to give guys the power to start flying single man drones through the air to get to work.
You mentioned idiots on the ground. I had to stop myself from raising my hand. But Steve Tasker and Chris Brown were at One Bills Live, and we're talking about the fact that we've got issues coming up. We got to get. And that's the thing, too. And one of the great things, but it's almost too much of a great thing here in Western New York. And everybody knows what I mean. Every weekend here in Western New York, particularly here in Buffalo, and I don't know if it's like this in Rochester or Albany or any of that stuff, but I know this in Buffalo. You go on any great summer weekend in Buffalo, and there are like three or four things you feel like, man, I wish I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Taste of Buffalo, the Tall Ships, you know, Allentown. I mean, you can go down the list, a Bisons game, you know, catch a ball game, go to the zoo, all this stuff and plus all the extracurricular events like the Corporate Challenge, the Buffalo Marathon, all of this stuff goes on. And they push all that stuff into all, you know, like 8 weekends or 12 weekends in the summer.
And there's probably a ton of stuff you can do here in August that I have no clue about.
Yeah, and all the stuff that we don't know about because we're like working weekends, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually, I love it. Because it gives you so much to look forward to, and you can really cherry pick some stuff. And it's also because of the crowded nature of the weekends. It's also the perfect thing is you know what? I can't make this event here because I got this event over here. I'm really sorry. So it gives you that chance to pick and choose and to cherry pick, right?
Yeah, pick what you want.
I love it.
So you like multiple weekend options?
I like multiple weekend options when you go outside and wear a pair of shorts and a golf shirt and not worry about having to shower at, you know,
yes,
and change clothes.
I concur.
This summers here are the best. You go to Niagara Falls, all that stuff. You go down there, it's like 11 in the morning.
Yeah, you better have three shirts.
Yeah,
with you.
You've already changed clothes three times because you've sweat through everything you've got on.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, it is. It's like, unbelievable.
You live down there and you're outside during the day. If you're in charge of laundry in your house, I mean, it's building up fast.
Yeah.
And you better have 12 pair of jockey
shorts.
So
what's the thing you're kind of worried about not being able to get done before we go to Carolina?
Well, the thing I worry about, because it always seems to require maintenance, is the pool. And I'm the pool guy at the house.
See, I'm not a pool guy. I'm a pond guy.
Yeah. Well, I know. You told me about that, which is great.
Pond's
because nobody cleans out the filter baskets
That's
at my house except me.
Oh, yeah.
Because my son's terrified of spiders, and you'll get those in there.
Yeah. Bunch of frogs, too. The occasional mouse.
I got a dead mole in there the other day. Probably middle of the night, comes up out of the ground, over the pool. Can't see. Right over the pool edge.
Done.
Scrambling. Big one. Big.
Yeah.
Like rat size.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mole.
You're better off without him, probably, huh?
Well.
Are they a positive or a negative? I don't even know.
I don't think they
That's our Twitter poll of the day. Are moles positives or negatives in your
landscape? I couldn't speak to that. I don't have enough knowledge on the mole population and the benefits or drawbacks of said
it'll
rodents.
Be about 30 seconds before we get a notification
here. Aren't they considered
a
rodent? I don't know.
They are.
So anyway, I mean, I'm terrified of leaving for a week and coming home to a green pool. You know, that kind of stuff. So I've got to kind of, I almost have to kind of chemically support it in advance and hope it carries through the week.
Right. I got you.
Because I don't need the missus calling me on the phone saying, we have a green pool. What did you fail to do?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right. So that leads us to, that is not our Twitter poll.
No, it's not. We have a really good one today.
A Twitter poll
is
really good. What happened is overnight, word got out about this Los Angeles Chargers running back, Melvin Gordon. Pretty good running back. He's a very good running back. He's good. All right, I'm not gonna go overboard.
He came into the Pro Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah,
I think he's Pro Bowl.
Listen,
yeah.
I went to the Pro Bowl. It ain't that big a deal.
So, it's hard to get there as a running back, though.
Yeah, apparently, a guy who doesn't rush for 1,000 yards and has like 170 attempts can get there.
But here's the thing:
Melvin Gordon said Melvin Gordon came into the league in 2015. He's been a starter for the
Chargers
since year one. 15, 16, 17, and last year. His best year was 2 years ago in 2017, 1,100 yards. That's the only 1,000-yard rushing year he's had. He did it on 284 touches with 3.9 average.
He's dealt with some injuries.
He's a nice back.
Two Pro Bowls in his career.
He's a nice back, right? He's a nice back. But now he says, listen, unless I get a new deal, I'm not going to play. Unless I get a new deal, I'm not coming to training camp. I'm going to hold out of camp without a new contract. Now, maybe he will come in. He'll tell him. He'll say, yeah, I'm not going to go to training camp, but I'll come in for the season. Maybe he'll do that. But as of right now, he's not going to report to work until he gets a new deal. Our Twitter question has to do with the value of a running back, not specifically Melvin Gordon, of course. But what is it? It's what's the future of a feature back in the NFL? What is the future of the feature NFL running back? And we'd like to take your questions take your answers. We've got a couple of choices for you, and they range from not worth a second contract to always going to be a part of the game to, you know, all the things that you can think of. And
too easily replaceable.
Too easily replaceable. And that runs the gamut. It runs, you know, the whole spectrum.
Right. And you've seen the different approaches in the NFL.
I'm looking for the choices to come up on our screen here.
You look at the different approaches that NFL teams take. I mean, the Bills have more cap dollars committed to the running back position than any other team in football.
Right.
And still have a feature back in LeSean McCoy. I think people would widely agree on that, even in his age 30 season. And there are other teams that just cycle on through.
Right.
Wear their top running back out on his rookie deal with no intention of signing him to a second contract because they're just going to draft another one.
Let me give you an example. The Dallas Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott, who led the league in yards.
And is up for an extension.
Who led the league in yards and attempts last season. Do you know how many times that guy carried the rock?
A lot.
Oh,
any
304 times for 1,400 yards and a 4.7 average, 6 TDs.
Behind one of the best lines in football.
Behind
two,
one of the best lines.
In,
Saquon Barkley was number two. He had 261. So 43 more carries. 43 more carries that Ezekiel Elliott carried Saquon Barkley.
Saquon, okay.
43 more carries Ezekiel Elliott had last year for Dallas than the number two guy in attempts, which was Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, on an offense that didn't have much else.
I think the Cowboys are crazy to give him a second contract. Absolutely crazy.
Tell
me
why.
See it because he's used up.
Okay.
He is absolutely used up.
You don't think he'll be nearly as effective in his second contract when he's making ridiculous money as he was on his first contract? That's your contention, right?
That, because A, he's going to be having made the money, and the second thing is he's going to be used up.
Okay.
And the third thing is that offensive line ain't the same as it was. He's not going to be as effective. And the fourth thing is, just like on our Twitter poll, you can replace that guy.
Mm-hmm.
What are your and I love to see here what people think about this, because we're getting a pretty good spread on the percentages. A, is he always going to be part of the game? The future NFL running back, is he A, going to always be a part of the game? B, no longer a must have. C, is good but not worth a second contract. Or D, nah, replace him. After us talking like this, I'm thinking D, replace him. I think I voted C.
And you're thinking like an NFL owner, obviously, when you say that, or a general manager, whatever you want to say. You're taking it from that perspective.
Well, think about it. We're talking about a hypothetical player that I don't have any emotional attachment to.
Right. You know,
it's not like my kid playing in Canada. I don't care who this guy
right.
is.
Because I think you look at the results of our poll so far, and I think our listeners are voting like fans. Don't you? We'll always be a part
our
of the game.
Our fans.
Well, I know that, but you and I are trying to think like an NFL GM or an NFL owner, because my pick here is good to have if you've got one, but not worth the second contract.
That's exactly right.
That's where I am.
That's where I'm at.
But
I think Dallas is right there.
I mean, our poll is certainly indicating almost 40% of the respondents are saying, hey, it's always going to be part of the game.
Yeah.
Got to have one.
Now, here's the thing. I say this all the time. We struggle to put these Twitter polls together. Now, always going to be a part of the game. Here's the thing. I think there's always going to be one of those guys, like an Ezekiel Elliott.
Adrian Peterson.
Le'Veon Bell. There's always going to be one of those guys that's out there going, wow, this guy's great.
Super dynamic.
Saquon Barkley, great example. There's going to be one of those guys out there all the time. Maybe a handful.
Yeah.
But there's 32 teams. So maybe there's always going to be a place for these guys, because there's going to be five guys who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, if you count that as, yeah, there's always going to be a place for a guy, that's different than saying every team wants that guy or has to have him. And I don't think that's the truth, because mm-hmm. you look at these teams with these top guys on it, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, David Johnson, Todd Gurley, and Adrian Peterson. Of those five, Todd Gurley's the only guy that went to the Super Bowl, and he's nicked up and didn't finish the season.
Well, and I think Todd Gurley.
He's the perfect.
Tell me what you think. I think there is going to be a quote Todd Gurley effect on how some of these other running backs are going to be paid going forward when they are up for their second contract, like a Zeke Elliott, like a Melvin Gordon, who have been guys who have put up relatively comparable numbers to maybe not as extreme as Gurley, but not too far off.
Gurley's legit now.
And all it takes is an arthritic knee, and it's over.
Yeah.
He's not going to have numbers like he's had in the past.
That's exactly right.
He's going to be lucky to get to 900,000 yards, and that's with a lot of carries.
That's right.
And if the Rams have just as successful a season as they did last year, you know, win 12 games, win the division, go to the playoffs, with a gimpy Gurley, you can't tell me that other teams aren't going to recognize that and say, guys, let's just get a whole bunch of receivers, get a back that's capable but doesn't have to be all world. Look at the Steelers.
Right.
Steelers said, screw you, Le'Veon Bell. We're tired of your act here.
And I don't
We're
mean,
not paying. And
I'm
maybe,
only being this, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek. The Steelers got a cancer patient.
Well, here's the thing, too.
Good for him. Because he had a great year, but they're thinking
James Conner was more productive than Bell was in his last season for Pittsburgh.
There you go.
You know, and Le'Veon Bell might be a little bit of a different case, because Le'Veon Bell didn't want to just be the highest paid running back in the league, which, by the way, the Steelers were prepared to do, pay him top running back money. Le'Veon Bell wanted to be top player in the league money. He wanted to be quarterback money. And there is no team anywhere in the NFL, CFL, Continental Indoor Football League that's going to pay Le'Veon Bell the top money in the league, because the top of the food chain is quarterback, and that's not changing. And if you think you're going to make that kind of money, you're out of your gourd if you don't play quarterback.
I agree.
So I don't know if Le'Veon Bell is a different case than what we're talking about in this Twitter poll and what we're talking about with Melvin Gordon, who made news today by saying if he doesn't get his new contract, he's not going to training camp, and he will take the Le'Veon Bell route and sit out for a year.
Right.
I mean, we even have him pretty much agreeing with the stance and the tact that Le'Veon Bell took last year.
Yeah, he's on Twitter. He's on Twitter, and they did an embedded trip with Melvin Gordon last year on a game weekend.
Right. But this is him reacting to what Le'Veon Bell did last year.
For those of you on the radio, he's sitting. We're gonna play this on MSG, and there's a video to go with it. He's sitting in a living room with his father, and I believe it's his brother, and they're having a conversation, and they're watching football while they're eating food while they're doing this.
And the news is coming down that Bell's going to miss the entire season, not even coming back in week 10.
Le'Veon Bell is out for the whole year. So he's going to hold out for the entire year. The news comes down, and his dad happens to be sitting next to him and asks Melvin Gordon what he thinks. And this is how that all wins down. And you'll be able to tell on MSG is self-evident, but on radio, this is a conversation in a living room between Melvin Gordon and his family on a game day. Here you go.
Bill ain't coming back, huh?
Who?
Bill.
No.
You gonna stay up for you?
Yes, sir. I will too. Come back and get hurt? Why? Gave y'all everything he had for about 5-6 years. Y'all can't pay the man?
And that was it. He says he gave everything he can for 5-6 years, and y'all can't pay the man?
But that's the thing.
And he said, I would hold out too, which he's doing.
But the Steelers were willing to pay him best running back money in football. They were going to pay the man. The problem was the man wanted even more than that. And that's just not going to happen at that position in this league. And why running backs can't get it through their skulls that that's the way it works is beyond me. And I, you know, you can say what you want about agents, but I think the vast majority of agents recognize what's realistic and what's unrealistic. And that's what made the Le'Veon Bell situation so compelling for me. The fact that I wonder where it got between Bell and his agent. Did the agent just unilaterally agree with every stance that Le'Veon Bell took in terms of his contract demands? Or was there ever a point in time where Bell's agent said to him, look, Le'Veon, I don't debate for a second you're the best running back in football, but once we start crossing over position lines to set your salary structure, we're getting into an area where you're not going to get any support from NFL ownership whatsoever. And you can talk about the contract he got with the Jets. It doesn't even match up to what the Steelers were offering him. If memory serves, the Steelers were offering him 5 years, $70+ million. And I can't remember what the first 3 year structure was, which is always key in those deals, especially for
money.
A running back.
There was
a lot of guaranteed money, certainly more than the Jets gave him.
It was a great deal. And I'll tell you exactly what happens, Brownie. You can say what you want about how Le'Veon Bell's agents dropped the ball. What were they doing? What were they thinking? Listen, don't put this on the agents. The agents cash their checks when Le'Veon Bell signs them. Le'Veon Bell is responsible for what he's doing with his career and holding out when he wants to hold out. Nobody should put it on their agent for getting bad advice, because if you're man enough to understand what they're saying, you're man enough to figure out to fire them.
Well,
that's the thing. So don't ever think a player, don't ever blame the agents for what happens to a player. That guy works for the player. And the agent, now you can say this, the agent probably did go to Le'Veon and say, hey, this is a good deal, what are you doing? And the player can just be
obstinate.
In this case, that's exactly what he did. He said no. He goes, it's principle of the thing.
It's
it's important to me to do this and this and this. And the agent at that point's got to say, okay, I don't advise it, but we'll do what you want to do. Let's go. And then he jumps on board and does the best he can for his player. But the player is the guy who makes the call. The player is the guy who makes the call for his career. No matter how stupid or how businesslike it is, no matter what, the player is the guy responsible. You can say what you want about the agents. Those guys are not, they are not responsible, and they're not to blame for stupid mistakes that players make.
And here's the thing to consider, too. Le'Veon Bell, throughout most of his early career, has been relatively healthy. You know, he hasn't missed a lot of time on the field, and yet he still was factoring injury into the equation. We just heard the Melvin Gordon sound. He clearly factors injury into the equation, knowing the position that he plays, and he has also missed time due to injury in his first 4 years in the league. So while I completely respect that, to have a running back with the mindset that I'm not just, and I don't know what Melvin Gordon's parameters are for what he expects to get in his second contract.
Nobody
knows that, maybe except him and his agent.
Who knows?
But if he is going to take a similar approach to the kind of money he expects from the Chargers organization that trumps the top of the running back pay scale to go above and beyond that, he is out to lunch, and he is going to be sitting, and he is going to be watching, because there is no NFL team in football that is going to give him money that goes beyond the pay scale of the running back position. It's stupid to do it.
That's why Adam Gase was totally against the Le'Veon Bell. Not that he didn't
link
him.
Which didn't even approach the Steelers' money offer.
Which didn't mean that he didn't like Le'Veon Bell as a player. He just thought they're paying too much for the guy.
Yeah.
And it was way less than the Steelers were giving him.
Now,
they offered him.
Now, we don't have time to get into it now in this opening segment here, but there is a flip side of this coin that is interesting to consider. And of all people, it was brought up by Dak Prescott, and we can get into that, you know, maybe in the next segment or a little bit later in the show, because there is a flip side of the coin to this in terms of the money being handed out to running backs, knowing the potential revenue streams that could be sitting down the line here for the NFL. But we should probably get to the tweet sheet first.
All right,
right?
Here we go. This is
presented by Corrigan Moving Systems.
The official movers of the Buffalo Bills. What's the future of the feature NFL running back? We had a lot of feedback on it. First from Tiffany, the Patriots featuring Sony Michel ran the Rams off the field to win the Super Bowl. He was a huge part of their success the second half of the season and throughout the playoffs. The Rams not having Gurley healthy most likely cost them the Super Bowl. A stud running back is essential. All right, that's from Tiffany. This is from Josh. The position will always be a part of the game, but there's a double-edged sword when it comes to second contract. Is the running back a valued leader in the building, and how productive is he? The answer to that is what can make them easily replaceable. And there's right. I mean, there's a production side of it. There's the intangible side of it. And there's also the devaluation or your ability to win or replace him. How big is the drop-off going to be from your guy that you drafted? Let's say in 3 years, you got Devin Singletary. All of a sudden, he busts loose in his second and third year, has 1,000 yards rushing in the second and third year after backing up Gore and McCoy this year, and he comes out and emerges as a 1,000-yard back. Why do you give him a second contract, not draft another guy in the third round?
And here's the other thing, too, with that, Steve, as it pertains to the Bills specifically. Who's coming up also for their second contract around that point in time? Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And so if you have a franchise
– And Tremaine Edmonds.
If you have a franchise quarterback – who's getting $25, $26, $27, $28 million a year, are you paying a running back on his second contract? I mean, that's putting bad money out there when you have a major commitment already and a good portion of the salary cap on the offensive side of the ball dedicated to the guy who's pulling the trigger on every play.
I got you.
So if you can replace him with a running back on a rookie deal at a far more palatable salary, you're going to do that 10 times out of 10.
I just think, and maybe we're overstating it, but I don't think there's any question that at this point in history, running backs are easier to come by than what franchise quarterbacks, than pass rushers, than corners even. Certainly safety, a great safety. There's only a handful or it's less than 10 of those in the league, right? I'm moving towards the easily replaceable column in our Twitter poll today. All right, we're going to take a break. Steve Tasker and Chris Brown on One Bills Live. We've got Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus coming up later in the show. We've got more on the Twitter question as well. This is One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown. We're at One Bills Drive in Orchard Park here across from New Era Field. We're talking about the feature running back and that position in the National Football League. Is it here to stay? Is it gone for good? Is it changing beyond recognition? There's a lot of stuff flying around that would tell you that all those things are true at the current moment, which is why we bring the question up. You've got running backs who really are what the old-time running backs used to be. You know, guys like Adrian Peterson, Ezekiel Elliott's playing that role, Saquon Barkley, You've got Todd Gurley, so you've got some guys who are carrying the ball a lot. You only had one guy in the entire league who carried it over 300 times last year. That was Ezekiel Elliott. And we've had a conversation about how hard are guys like that to replace. I think there's a lot of evidence that says, hey, they're not that hard. And you're crazy financially for your team to give a guy like that a second contract, which in my estimation puts the whole league in a spot where if that was the case, running backs, there's a reason their careers are short.
Well, right. I mean, most backs take a lot of pounding.
Yeah, you take a lot of pounding.
There are exceptions, LeSean McCoy being one of them, a guy that never really takes giant hits by the nature of his elusive style. And there are others like him. And then you have others who buck the trend, buck the odds. Adrian Peterson is the example there. What's he going into? His 11th, 12th year.
Yeah.
12th year in the league.
Frank Gore.
And he's still productive. Frank Gore is another guy who, even with a physical running style, has defied the odds as well. But those are not the norm. Those are the exception. And the vast majority of bell cow running backs usually kind of lose steam by age 28. And that's going to be probably at the tail end of your second contract. And there are teams out there that say, yes, I will pay top dollar to have this guy from age 24 to 28. After, which is why we see a lot of running backs leave college early to get their career started as soon as possible in their age 21 season. So at the end of their first contract, they're still 24, 25 years old, and they can get that big second contract and still be productive and make it a value that some teams will say, yes, I will make that investment.
Yeah, why would you carry the ball 200 times for, Arkansas State?
Yeah.
Carry it 250 times for those guys for
essentially
an education for free. Or you could carry it 250 times your senior year as a rookie running back in the NFL.
Set your family up for life.
And hit it out of the park and make seven figures. I mean, there's no contest. And I think, if you look at Ezekiel Elliott, who's kind of the poster boy for this coming up, this is going to be a huge question the Cowboys are going to have to answer now.
Right.
I think the Cowboys, speaking organizationally and Jerry Jones, I think they'll pay him.
Right.
I think because I think they don't do
that's
things.
That's just what they do.
I think it's crazy. But, yeah. This is his third year. Last year was his third year, 16, 17, and 18, 2016, 2017, 2018. He's got 868 touches, carries, in the league so far for 4,000 yards. 3 years, 4,000 yards, no question about it. He's a dynamite player. He didn't have 1,000 yards in 2017 because of the suspension.
Right. And his cap figure is 7.9. So it's not like he's making nothing.
Right.
I mean, he's making respectable money as the fourth pick in the draft. His entire contract is guaranteed, rookie contract, But here's the interesting thing that I saw on Pro Football Talk, because Dak Prescott had an interesting take on all this. Now, Prescott's up for an extension.
Right.
Ezekiel Elliott's up for an extension. And Amari Cooper, their number one wide receiver, is up for an extension, because they're all 2015 draft class. So what you have here is Dak was kind of asked about the situation. How is it all going to work for the Cowboys with their top receiver, their top running back, and their top quarterback all in line for giant money extensions?
Right.
And Dak's take was this, which I thought was relatively interesting because he actually had some reasoning behind it instead of saying, oh, well, we'll all get paid. He had some reasoning behind it because what he said was, for somebody to say you can only take so much because of the salary cap or you can only do this or do that, I don't know if that's fair to say. This was an interview he had with USA Today. He said, with gambling and everything going into this league, everything is going to continue to keep going up in terms of the revenue streams. So he says it's important for all these guys to get every bit of their worth. I want to see Zeke be the highest paid, Amari be the highest paid, and I want myself to be up there. And I don't think that's too far-fetched for all of us to get that in Dallas. He said at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, a year or two later, we're not going to be the highest paid guys anyway. That's just the way the game goes. So he's of the opinion that steps can be made to take care of all three of those guys in Dallas long-term. Now, The most interesting part of his comment, Steve, is where gambling which is becoming, you know, acceptable and approved as legal in several states. I mean, states are running through the legislative doors to get these things established as legal. New Jersey's already done it. There's been a host of other states that are that have it either on the table or in the process of being legalized. You can't tell me the NFL isn't going to be getting a piece of that action from a revenue stream perspective, because it's their product that's largely being gambled on. So if there comes a point in time here where the NFL gets a piece of all of these states' gambling revenue because it's their sport that's being bet on more than any other, and they'll have the statistical evidence to back it up, maybe there is money to pay a feature running back on his second contract. And because they're making so much hand over fist that throwing away $10 million a year on a running back isn't such a big deal.
Well, yeah, I get all of that, and you're right. And there may be more money coming in and more, but you know, the cap's going to go up.
Can you imagine what? Yeah, so the cap's going to go up as a byproduct of that.
Here's one thing that everybody misses in this whole salary cap industry and this whole salary cap scenario. For
tell us, Steve, what are they missing?
It doesn't matter what the numbers are. What it matters is what everybody else is making in that league. What it matters is if because right now the numbers, if it was 15 years ago and the numbers were what they are now, the running back would be saying, "I wish I could make Ezekiel Elliott's rookie contract." Mm-hmm. And that would have been a guy like Adrian Peterson. Mm-hmm. That would have been a guy like, for heaven's sakes, Jim Brown, Barry Sanders. Those guys, it doesn't matter. So, because for the money you're talking about, Ezekiel Elliott making now, mm-hmm. this same situation is going to come up again with another team, and it's going to be the same concept in different numbers. So the concept is going to be the same. What it boils down to is how big a piece of the pie are these positions going to get? It's not about the exact numbers.
Well,
it's about being able to pay this guy and this guy and that guy and that guy and three other guys. That's the problem. And
so you're talking about percent of the salary cap here for your running back. Whether if your feature running back, what portion of the salary cap should he gobble up? Am I hearing you right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, where do you think that should be? Where should the percentage fall?
You got to put. Well,
if you have a feature back like LeSean McCoy, David Johnson in Arizona, Le'Veon Bell, what percentage of the cap should you devote to them? What's reasonable?
There's a couple questions you got to answer about every one of those teams.
Do they have a franchise quarterback?
Do they have a franchise quarterback? Would they be as good without him? Would they be almost as good with a guy making a tenth of the money? And could they spend the other 99/10 of that money on three other guys that would make him even better?
Right.
All of that has to be weighed. Now, if you've got a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, to me, and I'm saying that I know I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here when we're talking about Dallas, I don't think Dak Prescott is as important in that offense as Zeke. I think Zeke is the engine of that offense mm-hmm. down there. I think Zeke could be the most important running back to his team in the NFL. Dak is not the most important quarterback in the NFL, even to that team.
But again, we're going to go back to this argument. Who's easier to replace?
That's right. I don't know. See, Dak Prescott's Dak Prescott's easier to
replace.
Are
you sure?
Let me talk. Dak Prescott's easier to replace than Drew Brees, than Tom Brady, than Philip Rivers, than Ben Roethlisberger.
We're not asking that question.
There's a big list. Yeah, there is. That's exactly the question you're asking.
Because as it pertains to the Cowboys, what we're asking is, is it harder to replace Dak or harder to replace Zeke?
Oh, it's much easier to replace Zeke.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you can replace his.
That's the question that the Cowboys are dealing with.
Here's the thing. Now, I don't know. I can't say that now. Let me think about it. Because Zeke had that one year with 1,400 yards, and they had like these. They had six cows blocking for him, and they were huge.
Right. But Steve, you have to think about it. This is an in-the-vacuum decision as far as the Cowboys are concerned.
I get it.
Can we more easily replace our franchise running back, or is it easier to replace our franchise quarterback? Because the Cowboys clearly think Dak Prescott is a franchise quarterback, whether you believe it or not.
Right.
So if you're the Cowboys GM, you're Stephen Jones.
Oh, I get it. If I think he's the guy, if I thought Dak Prescott was Ben Roethlisberger or Rivers or one of those, or Brees, Brady, if I thought he was one of those guys, absolutely Zeke Elliott gets kicked to the curb
yes,
today.
Yes, but just because you think he's a second-tier quarterback and not in the elite five.
I think he's a 2.5.
And not in the elite five doesn't mean you can easily replace him because he's in the second tier. I mean, how many teams are out there still scrambling around? Look at Denver.
Browning, I think that's exactly what it means. I'd rather have Joe Flacco than Dak Prescott.
You would?
Yes.
Oh.
He throws the ball better.
Man, I don't know.
Dak can do some things out of the pocket. There's some things, but I think Joe Flacco, nobody throws it like Joe, who on the free agent market. And you think you can get, you could, think about these last 18 months, Brownie. You had Kirk Cousins, you had Joe Flacco, you had Alex Smith.
Joe Flacco's been one of the lowest rated quarterbacks in the last three seasons combined.
Yeah, but all those guys are the same guys, Dak. I mean, they're all, you're not telling me Dak, because he's 25, 24.
That helps.
It does, but that just means you get more years of mediocrity. To me.
Okay.
Dak Prescott is...
That's your opinion.
I'd rather have Andy Dalton than Dak Prescott.
Oh, I don't think I could go there. Now you're killing me.
I'd rather have Andy Dalton than Dak Prescott.
Here's my point. Where do you have Matt Stafford on your quarterback list? Where is he?
Oh, he's good. He's very good.
Is he like 6 to 10, 10 to 12?
6 to 10.
He's in the 6 to 10.
He's certainly in the top 12.
Okay. They paid him $25 million a year. Why?
Because he's in the top 10 quarterback.
And he's hard to replace.
A top third.
He's damn hard to replace. And I think listen, he's even also though Dak, would you give Dak top half of the league quarterback? 15, 16?
I'd give him 12 through 20 money.
Okay.
But that's, you know.
That's $22 million?
If he takes, well, yeah, 22, I'd pay him 22. That's nothing. Tyrod Taylor made 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
I'd pay him
but
that.
What I'm saying is.
You're talking about 30. For the top guys.
As it pertains directly to the Cowboys, if you got a pick between Dak and Zeke, you're taking Zeke because you think he's more valuable to the team, and that's a legitimate reason.
Wait. Yeah.
But then I'm thinking, now you don't have Dak, who are you going with?
All right, there's another
Who's
thing
pulling
about
the trigger?
There's another part about that. We're going to take a break, but here's another aspect of this that just occurred to me. Now, listen, one reason you take Dak instead of Zeke is because Zeke is going to be used up in another 2 years.
Yeah.
Dak won't be.
Right. And that you can find a 21-year-old in the draft
right.
who can do everything that Zeke does behind that line for right. the most part.
That's a good point, too.
At rookie money.
That's right. I get it.
Knowing you're paying right. franchise quarterback
money to Dak.
We're not
done with this. I'm like a dog with a bone right now. I'm not letting up on this.
There's still meat on it, too.
Chris Brown, Steve Tasker. We're going to have Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus on later in the show. We're taking your calls and what the future of the feature NFL running back is and it's coming up.
In the next segment here, I am going to give you the percentages of the salary cap that the top paid running backs in the league are gobbling up. I think the numbers will surprise you.
And I think the teams will not surprise us because I'll bet there's not too many of them that are winning. Maybe not.
We shall see.
Except for maybe L.A.
Right.
All right. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown. Murph still on vacation. He'll be back Monday. We're talking about this topic today, and it seemed fairly innocuous at the outset. Now Brownie and I are in a heated discussion about the value of running backs, and we're spending a lot of time on Zeke Elliott because he's a young guy on his first contract. He's making okay money. He's like, what, 5.9, 5.9, or is it more than that?
His cap number is 7.9.
7.9 cap number. It's all guaranteed as a rookie. He's on his first-year deal. He's been used extensively by the Cowboys, as in there may not be as much left in his gas tank as some of the other guys. So we're having this big conversation. We're also talking to you at home what the future of the feature NFL running back. What is that future? And there's some choices for you on Twitter. You can call us at 803-0550 or 1-888-550-2550. Now, Brownie has got some percentages he thinks
are
pertinent.
So, you know, I think a lot of people say, and we heard this here this offseason with LeSean McCoy's cap figure, you know, and people are speculating around the nation, you know, national writers are speculating, oh, you know, big cap figure for McCoy, maybe they should get rid of that.
And what's his cap figure?
Well, his cap figure this year is just over $9 million. It's 9.05.
Okay.
And people are like, whoa,
he's only paying, but they're only hit. They'd save like 6.7 if they cut him, right?
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around there. But beyond that, people say, oh my God, that's a giant number for a 31-year-old running back. Now, the reason the Bills can handle that is because they're in a favorable cap situation right now. They don't need to save that money because
they need the production.
Right. They want the production, and they still trust that LeSean McCoy can provide that production with a better offensive line. So while that all makes sense, people say, oh, it's still so cost prohibitive. He's gobbling up so much of the cap. Do you know how much of the cap that he's gobbling up?
Let me guess. Probably it's $9 million. I'd say 5%.
Yeah, it's 4.5%.
Yes. Yeah.
He has the third highest cap figure in the league amongst running backs, and he's only taking up 4.5% of the cap.
Right.
David Johnson, who has the highest cap figure in the league among running backs, 9.75 million, 5%.
Right.
So I think because the money's going where it's going, as Dak Prescott said in the USA Today story, he's of the opinion that based on where the revenue streams and the cap number continuing to rise are going, that the Cowboys should be able to give Dak Prescott a fat second-year contract, that they will be able to give Zeke, you know, a big second contract, and they'll be able to give Amari Cooper a big second contract. And as he mentioned, the thing that might spin this into the stratosphere in terms of moving the salary cap up, maybe even more than $10 to $12 million a year, maybe it goes up $15 million a year because of the legalization of gambling.
Right.
You know the NFL is going to get a piece of that pie from every state that said, yep, we're doing it. It's legal. The Giants and the Jets play in New Jersey. Do you think the NFL, with their billionaire owners who know how to make a dollar better than anybody, are not going to get a piece of that action? I mean, you're out of your mind. They're going to get a piece of that action as right as rain, Steve. It's going
Absolutely.
To happen. Now, do we know all the ins and outs of how that stream of revenue is going to work? No, but I think it's pretty safe to say they're going to get a piece of the pie.
That's
and that,
right.
to me, means that paying a running back $10, $12 million a year may not be as big a thing as maybe even you and I think it is right now.
But what I told you is it's not about the number. It's about that. It's about being the highest guy. It's about being the next highest guy. It's about being compensated the way you think is fair around the league. You think, and there's always going to be a player like a Le'Veon Bell was with the Steelers. He thinks he needs to be paid like a quarterback. You've heard pass rushers say, I need to be paid like a quarterback. You've heard corners say, you know, I need to be paid mm-hmm. up there. And that's what it's going to be about. It's not so much, all of that, you know, it's not so much what it is for the cap of the particular team. It's what the player thinks he's worth on the open market compared to everybody else yep. who does what he does. And that throws a wrench into things, and that's where you get these warped outlooks. I think you're right, though, and we're going to talk about this maybe at the top of the hour. We're going to have a new segment that we talk, and I don't know, I hope it works, but it's called What's for Lunch.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, what's for, because we always do, come on, you and I, we have to kind of eat around the show, right?
Because pounded a granola bar
right,
somebody
exactly.
loaned me in the,
so it came up
back.
It's always on our mind because we're always starving when we start the show, and we're thinking about how we can incorporate it into the show. Well, what's for lunch? And there's going to be topics every day,
not just food.
It's
but maybe
be,
food
but it's topics and it's food for thought.
Yeah.
How about that?
There you go.
It's
well
food
done,
for thought,
Steve.
Right. I'm a genius. So you can either have it for lunch or you can throw it away. You can either eat it or chuck it. You can either, it's either food or it's garbage.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the choice. It's either it's a simple thumbs up, thumbs down.
All right,
we got
I'm
some
ready
topics,
for that.
And we're going to get to those at the top of the hour. We also have we're going to do that right at the top of the hour, and then right after that, at the next hour, 2 o'clock hour, we're going to have Steve Palazzolo on from Pro Football Focus. Mm-hmm. But we are chewing this thing up. We're like, I love this topic about what we think, because a little bit of it has to do with projecting the value of the position as it goes forward, and what kind of different player, like Alvin Kamara, to me gives the Saints more flexibility and gives them different things than Zeke Elliott does or an Adrian Peterson does, but they're playing the same position. So there's a lot of this going into is about how productive the guy is for his particular team. And there's a lot of scenarios where you can think of where these running backs are valuable to their team, but I don't know if he'd be that. I don't know if this team would have to change everything to pull this guy in. They'd change their offense, their yep. philosophy, everything they do. So there's a lot of that going in there as well. We're going to talk about that after the top of the hour. Steve Tasker along with Chris Brown of One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.